Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
We'll sing a thing tonight.
Sing a.
And that's the first thing you hear from me because we are live. Now, before I got on the show, I was having some issues. But tonight, the holiday season is upon us, and can you smell it? Jealousy is in the air. And tonight we are going to discuss why jealousy often turns into heel turns. We're going to discuss that and more. The Wrestling Realm was in the building. Championship Culture was in the building at WWE Raw in DC. And guess what? I just came across a couple of photos that we have to discuss tonight. Also, Championship Culture's got a little bit of heat with a belt maker. That and more. Thank you for joining us. Let's get the show on the road. Oh. You know it, Brian Nation. Boom.
Houston, we have a problem.
Yes!
Wait for it. Welcome to the Wrestle Realm Now podcast, where we take a deeper dive into the world of professional wrestling. Now, you can watch all of our Wrestling Realm content anytime on youtube.com/thewrestlingrealm. Follow us on all social media platforms, including Instagram, Threads, X, I'm calling it that now, Facebook at Wrestling Realm, two W's. Like, subscribe, and engage in the conversation with us. Also, you can download all of our audio content on Anchor, Stitcher, Podbean, Pocket Cast? Is that still a thing? Anyways, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Podcasts. Watch us and subscribe to our Twitch channel at The Wrestling Realm. I am your host, yours truly, the man, the myth, the legend. I don't know why I thought I called myself that recently, but I'm as real as it gets. I am the realness himself, the real Dwayne Allen. He is your host, the coolest man in the room, as usual, has the third, H to the A to the S, T to the H to the E, 3 to the R, to the D. Brother Hugh has the in the building. And the king of belts, Brandon the guy, the belt king, the pioneer of championship culture, is your host in the building. And last but not least, ladies and gentlemen,
Hollywood.
Brian H. Waters is your host as well in the building. Gentlemen, how are you doing today?
I just realized you found the extended version of the intro. I need that. I need that workout playlist.
Oh, brother, just say the word. I got it.
Yeah, send that over. I was like, wait a minute, this the whole thing.
Yeah, it's literally the whole Jimmy Jam.
I was looking for, remember that time I was looking for it in your hard drive for like forever. But see, bro, Dwayne don't put stuff in folders.
No, you know what? You taught me that though. Ever since, listen to me, literally, since that day, I've literally was like, Brian, it's just right. I need to organize this stuff. Because remember, I would be spending hours trying to find stuff. But I've had a couple of hard drives go up. So I definitely, because of you, that literally, I remember that day like it was yesterday. Like, bro, you got to put these in folders, man. You're killing me. I was like, my fault, man. You're right. I've been organizing the stuff. But yeah, I got all the stuff, the Wrestling Realm stuff organized. But I will definitely send that over to you. But
so you're sitting on Patreon content over there too.
No, it's, trust me, there's quite a bit. But back to business.
The comments lit already.
Listen to me. Oh, it is. Well, guess what? If you would like to advertise with the Wrestling Realm, you can email us at wrestlingrealm@gmail.com with the subject line saying advertise, and we will reach out to you for further details. So if you want to sponsor the show, a segment, or even just advertise your personal business and so much more, contact us at wrestlingrealm@gmail.com. Remember, use the subject advertise, and we will reach out to you with further details.
Word.
For all your Wrestling Realm apparel and merchandise, head over to WrestlingRealm.com. That's right. We got it. Yes, that's right. We're shaking things up. We have slashed prices. We have added new product, and we're going to continue to add new merchandise to our store. We're also going to take time on our show to also to do some unboxings, so you can see what we work with and some of the apparel that we have and the merchandise over at WrestlingRealm.com. So definitely shop now at WrestlingRealm.com for all your Wrestling Realm merchandise, t-shirts, hoodies, mugs, and much more to come. With that being said, for all exclusive shows and bonus material, subscribe to our Patreon channel. That's right, patreon.com/thewrestling_realm. All exclusive shows, all bonus material. What I'm about to say tonight in the show in regards to the championship culture, it might need to be one of those patreon.com/thewrestling_realm type stores. But yes, we have Brian H's thoughts. We have Reynolds Reacts coming soon. We have so much more. We even have some exclusive championship culture stuff that may be coming soon to the Patreon. We are working hard and diligently for those who want to continue to engage with us on a different tier. So you can subscribe for just as low as a dollar. I think right now we have 3 tiers. But we're just getting this started. So be patient with us as we continue to crank out all that exclusive content, especially in regard to subjects like tonight's show. But now, listen, brothers, we're entering the holiday season. You know what that means, right? Football season, as well as WWE's holiday tour coming up. So if you're looking to purchase tickets to concerts, live shows, sporting events, and more, head over to SeatGeek.com where you can use promo code Wrestling Realm for any one-time purchase of $50 or more. So if you have never used this code before, head over to SeatGeek.com and use the promo code Wrestling Realm. Most of the time, tickets are going to cost you more than $50 anyway, so do yourself a favor. Use a promo code Wrestling Realm. Save yourself $20 off your tickets. Trust me, you will not regret it. Whew, I'm on a roll. This is the part of the show. This is the part of the show where we usually review championship culture, which can be found on youtube.com/thewrestlingrealm under the playlist championship culture. But there has been a brief pause for a very specific reason. It's because season 2 will be coming soon. Now, this is the part we'll hand it over to the Belt King and Has the Third as they discuss what can we look forward to, gentlemen, for Championship Culture Season 2.
You want to go first, or you want me to take this? You want me to take this one here?
Go ahead and take it. This is like New
Jolly. All right. Okay.
Brother Hugh sounded good, feeling good, looking good.
Yes, sir.
I thought you might have wanted to, come from behind the scenes for a little bit.
Listen, well, I'm gonna tell you this. He gets comeback of the year, by the way. We should get a trophy for that.
Brother Hugh.
I appreciate you guys.
I'm telling you, bro. You icy boy. I see you, Shorty. Championship Culture Season 2, brother. What can we expect?
So, if you thought Season 1 was a ride, a roller coaster ride, man, you better fasten your seatbelts and strap in, because Season 2 will be coming soon. And when I say soon, sooner than what you think. Understanding that it's a lot of things happening in the world of professional wrestling, but more important, there's a lot of things happening with belts. There's a lot more stories to be told, a lot more stories that can be heard. And just remember, every belt has a story, and can't wait to hear yours, quote unquote. That's all I'm going to say about Season 2. That's it, because I know Dwayne's up to something.
I didn't do anything.
You ever notice when he's always up to something? I always one up him. So, you know, he always tries, but Season 2, it's already shaping up to be a 25 episode season, again, like Season 1, with 5 of them all having, you know, some creative freedom by, you know, one of the hosts of the Wrestling Realm, but we'll get to that another time. But, you know, we've purposely left 5 since he enjoys wrestling, you know, championship culture so much. We're going to wait to see what he cooks up, because not only is he going to help be a part of him, he might make an appearance. Because I feel like he's like, what's the thing that you only see every once in a while? One of those magical creatures. I won't call him a unicorn, but people, you know,
that about me. I don't know what that even means. I remember, I think a week ago, 2 weeks ago, I was called artificial intelligence. Somebody said it's AI.
That makes sense.
He's like that rare Pokemon, like Ho-Oh or Mew.
Mew. One of them.
It's like one of those legendary dogs that you could never capture, and they just keep running away. You're like, I know they exist.
Right.
I know they do. I'm going to keep searching this game for them, and I'm ready. I keep this one Pokemon on the top of my deck.
You got the IWC out here talking about, no, he real. I touched him. I shook his hand. Then you got the other people saying, nah, you shook. That's AI. That's computer generated. He's not real.
I'm not going
to
lie.
The only reason I know he's real because I do like this when I talk to him. Because he's 6'12". I always got to be like, I'm like, I hate when you stand next to me.
I tell you guys the same thing. Don't walk so close to me. Just look at me from a distance. The closer you get, the taller it goes up.
It does. But I feel like I'm like this.
That is true. That is
the
true.
The whole time. Mm-mm. And then he just be talking. But... Yep. So,
no, that's
Diesel. What you got, brother? Brother Allen, I know you cooking something over there.
Nothing. Almost. I just want to say that season two coming soon.
Okay.
Championship Culture. So, if you want to catch up on season one, I just want to invite everybody who's listening and watching to head to youtube.com/ is it Wrestling Room / is it The Wrestling Room or Wrestling Room? I forgot. I said it so many times that I forgot.
One of them quickly. Joints.
/Wrestling Room.
And the other one is /Wrestling Room.
I think it's just /Wrestling Room because I think
YouTube.com/Wrestling Room.
There you go. YouTube.com/Wrestling Room. The Championship Culture playlist. Trust me, if you think we're bad on this show, trust the shenanigans is crazy. I love all the live shows there. This is one of my favorite shows that I look forward to usually every Tuesday 8 p.m. Is the show coming back at the same time, Brother Brandon?
Yes, sir. Tuesday 8 p.m. will still be it. The only thing is, if NXT getting the hot, we might get bumped off that time slot. So
That is true.
You know, NXT is becoming, you know, the new hot commodity, and they keep getting hotter. So we might have to kick the network might kick us off and tell us to go a different day. But you know, I don't know. We're gonna hope for Tuesday, but Thursday might be the big wrestling day.
But did you hear that the that SmackDown might be moving?
I think it should.
To what? What are we?
They don't know yet, but TKO Group, okay. You know, thinking about, you know, shuffling things. So, you think? Who knows?
Oh, okay, Brian, let me
even moving
you.
Monday Night Raw. They even
no, moved, that's
about moving Monday.
They thinking about it too, which I
that was not a thing.
I'm not a fan of that, but I'll say this. But for SmackDown, SmackDown's kind of SmackDown's moved around quite a bit. But what's a good day? No, it's like a traveling nomad. Whoever has the highest bid. What's a good day for SmackDown, gentlemen? We've had it on what, Tuesdays? We've had it on Thursdays. We've had it on Fridays.
Did we get Thursdays again?
The only problem with, and the only reason about moving SmackDown, I agree when the WWE con said they don't have to compete against so much stuff if they move Monday Night Raw because he's an outside businessman thinking like,
sure,
you know, if we're going to have certain ratings, not worry about having to move the show because we'll worry about viewers because of Monday Night Football, don't compete with it. Makes sense, but the day that I think works best for wrestling because it gives us that break in between the pay per view is Thursday because then we had a break on Friday and we're gonna have a PLE on Saturday. And think about it, it gives us that break,
gentlemen. Are we good for Thursdays? Everybody okay with Thursdays?
Coming back home to Thursdays, yes.
I'm good with Thursdays to be honest with you. I probably like it best, just Fridays because it's so much stuff like you know, a movie that's always you know, movie nights, it's always you know, we learn. In television school, the hot levels die. But just thinking about, I mean, think about how many times you miss SmackDown because you going out or whatever. Now, me, the tribal chief on there, I let people know, you know, the tribal chief on, I'm staying home. But
yeah, you worry about that once every 6 months, so you good.
I was about to say, you better check his schedule.
But you know, I'll say this from a content creating standpoint. Mm-hmm. Break it down with Brian H was born during the time SmackDown was on Tuesdays. And
okay.
It made it so much easier. Because I would literally record, and this was before I was doing stuff live, I would record after SmackDown went off the air.
Okay.
At first I tried the 205 live, and I was like, okay, I'm not really going to cover this. So it would be on, but I would, you know, record right after SmackDown went off the air. But I think, so from a content creation standpoint, yes, Tuesdays. But overall, from a wrestling fan standpoint, I think Thursdays would be best. Now, I will say this. When it comes, you're talking about competing, I don't think Monday nights. I think WWE already, with their Monday night stuff, they already done did the worst. That was when you remember the NFL prioritized ABC. ABC was the number one station,
right?
Back in the 90s, and this is during the Troy Aikman and the
the heyday.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's when, you putting basically the Dallas Cowboys and the 49ers up against Stone Cold Steve Austin and The Rock, and WWE was thriving. There now, the Monday night games is the afterthought, because the Sunday night games is the one. And that's the reason why I can say, okay, we're going to move the PLEs off a Sunday. Mm-hmm. Thursday night games are trash. I don't think. Watch the Ravens make this one a good one. But for the most part, historically, since Thursday night's been a regular thing, I would argue that there's been way more bad Thursday games than good ones. So, you know, with the NFL, NBC is the priority. That's the number one. They get the first pick, the first dibs. So I would stay away from Sunday nights, but Monday night, that's not be intimidated.
I agree with you, Brian.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and as wrestling fans for 30 years, right?
That's what
we've been used to watching Monday Night Raw. It's a part of us, you know.
Yeah. No, I think it's understandably so. Like you said, it's a different
shots, bro.
Uh-oh. Nope. See this
the
is...
guy. He's talking to Queen PR. He says, "You're welcome. That was the shortest amount of time a belt was with me." You know, I know somebody took a few months to get their belt, you know.
Nah, you know what? Better late than never, good brothers. I'm polishing up. Matter of fact, hold on. Let me get my...
That's why.
My money free Windex.
I was waiting for Dwayne to see it. I was just pointing out the fact that I felt like I didn't get to, you know, love it and appreciate it, you know, because it was like here, then gone.
But you know what I'm sure you did love and appreciate? I have realized that this past Monday, the Wrestling Room was in the building for Monday Night Raw in Washington, D.C., you know, just down the road from where we partake at. And Championship Culture was showing off. It was live tweeting, and even DC Doubt live tweeting and taking photos. And I was like, okay, I'm seeing some things. And then there's a couple of things I noticed. So one, I see that the Intergalactic Wrestling Rum Championship version 3, Brother Brandon's select belt made his debut. I was like, and he advertised this. Wait a minute, I didn't see this. And then they was taking. Then I noticed he took a picture. Look, I took a picture with the Good Brothers, with Dr. D. Daryl Johnson. It's Brother Hugh. It's Brandon. It's Corey and Doc. So are we good? Are we good, guys? Are we good? What's the deal? Look, you see how they're both cheesing. So what's the deal? I need a live update. Are we good? Huh?
We're gravy. We're gravy. We're good.
Brandon, what are you saying? Are you good?
You like that belt, don't you?
I do. I do. Okay. I'm so glad that it wasn't with you and I wasn't there, because that's what it's been. But
yes,
listen, but this is what I love to see. This is brothers right here. You can't see it on my thing, but this is called brotherhood. See that?
But you would say something in that picture, but you didn't respond to the picture that I sent you on Tuesday. You kept quiet on that one in the group. But we ain't gonna air all that out. That might be a Realm After Dark question.
It might be, but I'll say this.
Patreon.
You guys got a little bit of heat, man. One of the belt makers, one of the top dogs had a comment. I mean, Brother Hewitt took a picture of his Championship Culture shirt and his championship, his custom Wrestling Rum Tag Team Championship. And one of the more known belt collectors tried to call you up, Brother Brandon. He tried to call you out there. Yeah. I said, these guys are starting to get some heat. That's how you know you made it. You got haters in the streets. I was like, okay, this is Brother Brandon's about to start digging into the pockets of some of the belt creators, because there's a new sheriff in town. Yeah.
Well, and the thing is, so it's crazy, because in Championship Belt Brothers, a group on Facebook, they talk about how makers do people wrong and things like that. But go with people that you trust and people that you know. And I'll just share a quick story. I had a situation with a maker. Every belt
has a story.
That's right.
Absolutely. Yeah, so people will see a design and get jealous. But my thing is, I'm very honest about inspiration that comes from any belt that I make. Music.
Right.
So for a well-known person to take a shot at, you know, a tag team belt, and what do they call it? A cheap knockoff, or cheap toy, or something?
Yeah, a bootleg.
he called it a replica from a packy bootleg.
Right. Which that's fine. That's absolutely fine. But
that's a little racist to me, but
no, it's absolutely fine. But it's nothing being said when these makers make these belts over this shoulder. I'm sorry. Ooh. You know, when they make the WWE ones and they put it on their leather and they put their stamp on it, it's okay. Mm-hmm. But when I go to different makers and say, here's the concept, I like this, take this, add this part to it, do this or do that, there's a problem. Now, granted, I don't have $5,000-$6,000 to spend on a belt, which is
Brandon
fine.
Brandon's getting fired up.
I'm calm.
You see the steam, on the head?
Because guess what? I know it's happy people whenever somebody trusts me to get a belt for them. They're happy people at the end of the day.
Hold on, what do you say? Because he know. He knows.
And his people gonna be happy.
That's right. That's right. Tell them who you are.
When you get
an example, are you ready for this?
When you Brother Brandon for a belt, Brother Brandon gonna take care of you, and Brandon gonna make sure you're happy. You get the belt. Make sure that the belt is designed to your specifications, and it's only one time you can get it right, because he knows he's got one time to make an impression. And when you call Brother Brandon, he's gonna inspect the belt, gonna make sure it's done right. He's gonna make sure that has got everything that you need. Well, help me, somebody, Brother Hugh.
So I'm gonna say this, and this is the crazy part. I believe in every belt has a story. So I always ask people certain things when it comes to making their belts, right? Mm-hmm. And I take inspiration from what they like. Because when you see a custom belt, you should be able to say, I'm happy, I'm proud of it. That's me. It's what I like. And as an exclusive, I'm working with somebody, getting them a custom belt made. And I shared this with you earlier. I hated certain aspects of the artwork. And I was very open and honest with the person when I said it. They said, no, this is great. I like this. And y'all always say I'm very
picky.
Yes.
Very specific.
But when I told the person what I want to take off and what I want to add, they said, oh, that's good. Oh, I like that. That's fine. Can't wait to see it. So for somebody to take shots, that's fine. But I'm not going to pay. This is a WWE belt. Mm-hmm. I'm going to give WWE that money. I can't buy this belt from New Japan.
There you go.
And they only let them go a certain amount of time. So how else would I be happy in this hobby? How am I going to live out my... Why is my joy affecting you?
Mm-hmm.
Because if that's what my design was and that's what I wanted and that's what I decided to go for, why is that affecting you? But that's all I'm going to say, because every belt has a story. You want to come on Championship Culture and explain? You want to talk about it? I invite you to it, because at the end of the day, this is a hobby, right?
Whether
I got red Jordans, blue Jordans, or black Jordans, you like Jordans, right?
All the Jordans.
Do I buy mine from Foot Locker or Foot Action or anywhere else? Or do I order them directly from Nike? Don't come at me because I went to Foot Locker versus Nike.
Oh, yeah! Boy, hot.
No, I'm just saying, because I'm passionate about the belt hobby, because we all have them for different reasons. Mm-hmm. We all have different reasons why we get it. So I don't want to take up too much time with you, because this isn't Championship Culture. And I don't want to rant, but I'm just saying.
Talk, good brother. You I'm glad earned you,
bro.
Yeah, I'm glad you had a chance to express yourself. Got a chance to clap back, but to me, what that shows me is, hey man, they're paying attention. That's what I got hype about. I said, oh, we got some hate. I said, yes, sir. And I don't think of legitimate hate.
But you know how many eyes were on Hugh? And everybody kept looking.
I mean, just look at him. In the words of Bobby the Brain.
I'm a sexy individual. What you mean? I mean,
that's no secret. But what I'll say about this, and to your point, Brandon, and if you're finished, I don't want to cut you off.
No, yeah, I'll finish. I don't want to. We can go on, and I'm not.
It's gonna perfectly segue into tonight's show, because the people are kicked in. You have made it like what you did was you broke down the gatekeeping, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're helping people realize how affordable it really is, because that's how I was. I remember before we got you involved, Brian H. We had been talking about. I was trying to figure out like how we can get each other wrestling around belts, and I didn't even know where to start. We were looking. He's like, man, I can't find anything. Like, you can't just go on Google and find these things. But what you've done is you've broken down that wall and that barrier. And people go, wait a minute, that's it. That's how much it costs. Like, wait a minute, I spend more on clothes and shoes and stuff like that. And like, no, this is, you can get something nice and very affordable. And of course, sometimes the belt marks are like, no, it's not a legitimate $5,000, because the same guy that critiques WWE's belts. It's like, okay, so, you know, I get it. He's passionate about it from his perspective because he's an actual belt maker. You know what I mean? And he's a well-known belt maker, but the fact that he's paying attention shows me that championship culture has arrived.
And I think realizing they ain't got to buy them, what you call it, belt.
That's what I'm saying.
Them standard best dad in the world fantasy football belt.
And that's what we was looking at first. You know what I mean?
But you like, can get a real belt.
So, and the crazy part is, and I've been on record as saying, you want a WWE belt, go to WWE. Sure. Give them their credit. But you tell me where you can get an MLW belt or a TNA belt. You know, we for a short amount of time can get Ring of Honor belts.
$10,000 for it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, you could get a Ring of Honor belt at one point in time, which was comparable to a WWE belt, you know, but the prices never dropped with those until they, you know, lo and behold, lawsuits or whatever it may be. I don't know. I don't work for ROH, but we know some of the belts went out of production. Some of the belts at the shows, you know, were there, then they were gone. So where else would... But where else would I be able to get something that's going to be attached to my joy and my happiness and bring me back to that moment in wrestling that might have been my escape, that might have been my happy place, that might have been my outlet? And everybody has one. So I never rag on anybody. I always give them my comments like, hey, I would hate for you to, like Dennis King, one of the brothers, good brother of the show. He really wanted the 10 pounds of gold. And I kept saying, make sure you get the one that you want. Pay attention because you know the plates are different on the side. The flags are different. Make sure you get, do you want it with the braid? You know, I'm giving them all the details that I've learned since I've been collecting belts. And I'm just passing it on. I'm not going to say, oh, that's a horrible belt. Why'd you buy that one? No, I'm going to say, hey, brother, I don't want you to waste your money. Let me help you.
There you go.
That's what championship culture is about. Like, I'm never going to rag on somebody like, oh, you just wasted your money. I'll say, I wish you would have talked to me. And hey, let me stop you from making the next mistake because I may have already made it, or I know the game.
Buy them belts from Amazon for $150.
Amazon or eBay, please stay clear of them. If you want to go to a trusted secondhand belt or a trusted, I got $200, $300 I want to drop every Friday on Championship Belt Brothers. They do a sale post. 99% of those brothers are trusted. They've been verified. You can ask for references. If you see something you want in that price range, go.
Am I part of that group? I got that invite, right?
I think I invited you. You might be in the figures one because they have championship figure brothers and championship.
Yeah, I think he was in the figures,
Okay, all right.
Don't worry, I'm about to invite you to it.
Either way, you'll be there. You'll be there.
Yeah, you know it. Because so at the end of the day, if you guys are not really comprehending and you're not understanding what Brother Brandon is trying to say when it comes to him, and Brother Hugh and championship culture and the belt community, what he's trying to really get across is he wants you to pretty much
acknowledge me.
And that's just what it is. So it's there's a lot of jealousy in the air, man, especially in this belt community. But it's okay though, because it's the fuel that burns the fire as a
in the wrestling community.
And the
Roman Reigns work schedule.
Yeah, I don't know what that argument's about. I mean, okay, we'll get into it definitely. But
11 matches.
Yeah, but if those 11 matches draw more money than your 250, okay. All right. See, Brother Brandon started it. He got the fire. He came out guns blazing.
He did.
Now, it's getting to me. But
I say that because we've had such. We've been watching the good young and the wrestlers for a year, and then you just took Victor away and want me to still be vested in.
Oh,
Jack can't carry the show. Jack couldn't carry the show.
Say that right now because the Young and the Wrestler's been doing like it's starting to get back up again.
It's getting back, but you get what I'm saying? Like, and I'm just saying,
back been there
like the 90s. I'm talking about the 90s. Let's say,
the Shamar Moore day.
It was like, oh man, this is great. But it was like, as soon as certain characters were on the screen, it's like, this is must watch TV. And it's the same way with like TV shows, you know. And I'll just equivalent to this, the way you're gonna laugh. Uh-oh. Could you watch Mighty Morphin Power Rangers without a Red Ranger?
That's a little drastic. I mean, she got
but it. That's what I feel like. If you think about it, one episode, you'll be like, oh, he's captured. They're going to get him back the next one. Zach stepped up and was the leader for that one episode, but Jason going to be back tomorrow. You know, then you're like, okay, everything's cool.
It's trying to build new stars. And, you know, soap operas have done it for 30 years. They've always like, okay, we got our main guy, and then you try to build some new characters with him, and he disappears for a while, hoping that the new characters can help carry the show. And if it doesn't work, you got to go back to Old Faithful. You got to call John Cena back.
My man Devon did, a.k.a. Lil Richie from Family Guy, making a name for himself. He that dude on Young and the Restless.
Well, see, there you go.
He's on that now?
He's been on there for years.
I haven't watched it. Oh, wow.
Yeah. Okay. Like, I mean, I started watching him. I was like, you know who that is? I'm like, oh, it's just like, that's Lil Richie from Family Matters. That's like, oh, that is him. And then this year, they brought his mother in. Aunt Rachel. Yeah, they brought her in for like a couple cameos. She obviously wasn't his mother. But yeah, you know, she got some work.
Something like that. No, but it makes, of course not. Now she's gorgeous. Even as she ages, she looked, you know, much. I always enjoyed her much more, but she got older than when she was on Rachel. But that's neither here nor there. But jealousy and heel turns. You know, we talk about all this jealous stuff in the community, but it's not just in the community, good brothers. It's in the world of professional wrestling right now, and that's what we are here to discuss. This is why the people are watching today, is because, man, there's a lot of jealousy going on, and there's a lot of jealousy that's turning really good people into really bad heels. And today we are going to discuss that. So with that being said, Brian H, go on and ring the bell. Let's get this party started. All right. Usually this is the part where you usually go, what do you watch? Which is usually sponsored by nobody right now. It's an open spot. It's a blank sponsorship, but we had to have a small championship culture segment. So we're going to jump right into today's show. And, I have a question for you, good brothers. I need you guys to help me understand it. I save this conversation purposely for this show. And for those that are watching, if you're in the chat, please chime in. But why does it seem like jealousy leads to heel turns? Right? We have, this isn't our first time around the block. We've been engaged in professional wrestling for such a long time. And we've noticed there's been so many situations where good friends turn to bitter enemies because of pure jealousy. I'm talking good guys that end up turning into bad guys simply because one person wants what the other person has. And we've seen it most recently in the biggest space with Santos Escobar. I told you I didn't trust him. And with Drew McIntyre. Now, I'll say in both of these situations, they were different twists that I wasn't suspected. But we'll get into the details of both of those situations. But it's not just them. We're still trying to figure out the Carmelo Hayes attack Trick Williams. We've seen Xia Li, be somewhat of a fan favorite, but now she was jealous of Becky Lynch's opportunity giving to other. Like, I'm seeing this similar theme, and it's all over the place. But I need you brothers to help me understand something. Why does jealousy lead to all these heel turns? What's going on in professional wrestling?
Anybody let's take a step further though?
Okay,
why does it always happen around the holiday season,
bro? Doesn't that seem off to you? It's like.
It's like that block of September through November, right? Think about it. Dominic in September, Owen Hart,
Then Owens happened around SummerSlam, right?
Survivor Series.
It was about.
It was that Survivor Series.
It's the Hart brothers
with all the brothers.
Yep.
Why did I thought it saw happening that? What you call it?
Nah, they had a match at SummerSlam that was a banger.
Yes,
that didn't close the show.
Maybe that's what I'm thinking about.
Yeah, and then Ric Flair and Sting. When he needed his help against Arn Anderson and Pillman. It seemed like it always happened around this time of year.
This is supposed to be.
You think it's
the
build
time.
Mania? You think it's to build that thing for Mania?
Well, yeah, but it's just funny that
celebrating turkeys and Jesus' birthday and Christmas trees and presents.
Nah, buddy. It's all about Christmas. It's all about being green.
That's what they turn to, Brother Hugh. They turn green with evil, like Tommy the Green Ranger. They turn into the Grinch. What's going on, right. Brothers?
That Christmas bonus.
Dang, you think it's all about the money? Well, let's go there.
That final ring.
Shawn Michaels? My bad. Yeah.
I forgot just that quick. I was like, wait a minute, was he? Yeah, because Diesel was kind of the guy, and Shawn Michaels got a little testy about it. Mm-hmm. What's going on, man? Well, the wrestling is brought us so much joy. But yet, it seems like they just can't get out of their way when it comes to one guy wanting what the other one has. Brother Hugh, talk to the people. Why is it that jealousy seems to be the number one reason for these obvious heel turns, where good friends end up turning into bitter enemies and some of our favorite rivals, and we're so messed up as fans, we sit back and enjoy them instead of saying, no, they should be friends. They shouldn't be fighting with each other, but we kick back and we enjoy and we cheer. Five favorites, but it seems like a good guy always ends up turning into a bad guy. What's going on?
It's all about competition. I mean, okay. everybody wants to be the top dog. Mm-hmm. And if you see, like, say, for instance, Trick Williams right now, he's over like crazy. Mm-hmm. Melo, he's kind of, I love him to death, but he's
on the back end.
Yeah, he's drying out a little bit. He needs something new with his character. Mm-hmm. So, of course, you're going to get that type of turmoil between them two coming from the guy who feels like he's lacking a little bit.
Mm.
You know, he just lost his title. Trick is getting hot. You see all of the promos, and you see all of the fans engaging with Trick. Like, mm-hmm. Of course, it's natural. Why not get jealous and then try to bring him down to your level?
Well, why would he get jealous if he was already there, Brother Hugh? Like, think about it. Carmelo Hayes was there first. Trick Williams supported him. He was his right-hand guy, and they didn't even have a traditional breakup. He said, look, man, I know you don't think I'm your sidekick, but they do. Remember that? Remember his address?
Right,
and we were talking about it. I remember the brothers, we would talk about it. We said that's a very clever way without it having to be like this breakup angle. But it's really going in that direction. But it's like they in Shawn Michaels and Triple H fashion, they revisited on the back end instead of doing like a traditional, some AEW would have did, no disrespect. But it's like, you know, we're like, oh, they're going to break up. And then now, all of a sudden, like you said, Trick Williams is becoming a fan favorite. And Carmelo Hayes is you know, he's kind of had his run and he's not happy about it.
Man, he's so used to being in the spotlight, though.
That's true.
You've been in the spotlight so long, and you had that glory. You want to continue to taste that. Mm. I don't care if that's my brother or that's my best man over there, or whatnot. Hey, look, I don't like it. I don't like that he's getting my shine right now. So I want to still be on top. So I'm gonna bring you down. I'm gonna knock you down a couple notches real quick.
That's the good way of looking at it, Brother Brandon. You want to say something?
Yeah, and it's a deep cut that only you're gonna understand the reference because it's perfect for what happens.
Yeah, they made one together on the microphone. Mm-hmm.
The person that's let's say Trick and Carmelo, right, or okay. Santos Escobar and Ray, Drew McIntyre and everybody, right?
He
guess why? You ready? Why is this is why.
Because
they have one bad day.
Oh, think okay. About hold on.
It's always hold on. When they
don't lose me. So the first reason was Brother Hugh said because. Sometimes you don't want to give up the spotlight. You were in a spot and you lost it. It's hard to give it up. Now, you, Brother Brand, you're adding something, another one. You're saying one bad day. Okay, I'm following. Go ahead.
So, if think about it, Santos, because he didn't get the U.S. title. That was his bad day.
He was hurt that day, and he couldn't be in the championship. Oh, yeah.
Remember, mm-hmm. He'd have had, because he couldn't get it. Ray got it. He still couldn't get it. That was the start of his bad days, right? And the reference I'm making is the joke always said, you know, it just takes one bad day for somebody to become a villain. Well, Drew had a bad day. He couldn't win that World Heavyweight title, right? And he still was salty about what you call it being there because he like, you caused me the Universal Championship.
Yeah, but he kind of had a couple bad years.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, but that was his one bet. That was his turn.
That
was right?
Okay, yeah, that was a start.
I don't have a title. You ain't going to have one. And then if you look at Trick and Carmelo lost the title. He ain't been the same since Ilyinov, because remember, he wanted to go at it alone because in his mind, oh yeah, I did only retain because, you know, Trick's interference, but when he had Trick by his side, that was his bad day. That's when he started to spiral. Why are you out here? I'm about to attack you. Oh, you're looking at me. I'm not. If you think about all the heel turns, it's on the heels of a bad day.
That's a good one, so Brian Nate.
Look at Brian Murray. So
yeah, because listen.
Does that make sense, Brian? Bro, come on, Brian.
That was one I didn't think about. Like I'm not the most like in-depth thinker off breaks because it's just me, right? Which is why I like to listen to everybody's ideas. What Brother Hugh said, like when you hear jealousy, it's the obvious piece of, well, you're jealous. You have something I want. But the reasons behind the jealousy is like, okay, now we're getting to the meat and the potatoes of the meal. So when Brother Hugh said, like sometimes, It's a human instinct. It's hard to give up that spot. Like, I want to stay here, and I don't want to give this up yet. It's like, you know what? As a human, like, yeah, I kind of get that. And then what you're saying is sometimes it takes just one bad day, and I'm like, you know what? That's also true. Brian Nitch, do you have another reason as to why jealousy often leads to heel turns.
Before you go, Brian, remember what happened with Trish. We smelled something happening when she lost that title match. What happened? Remember?
What title match?
She was subbing in for Lita, right?
Oh,
and she was attacked. So not only the jealousy was brewing, but that was her bad day. And it was just like, Vince McMahon or it would be, I'm snapping because of something. Triple H is, you see my one bad day and you see me changing.
Mm.
But that's true. The only difference. That's the only difference in the two.
Man.
Yeah, I think, and you know, it's like the thing, you do whatever it takes to get ahead.
You know what I mean? There you go. It's another good perspective. Yeah. Hold on. I'm going to cut you off. So you got, don't want to give up the spotlight. Mm-hmm. One bad day. Do whatever it takes to get ahead, because that's a very key point, because we've heard that adage in professional wrestling for years. You want to make money or do you want to make friends? You know?
Yep. Mm-hmm. And you look at a guy like Santos Escobar.
Mm-hmm.
We say it as professional wrestling analysts that, WWE needs that next big star for that demographic. And he is like, out of everybody they brought in, you know what I mean? It's like they finally found one. He's got the look.
Yes.
He's got the charisma. He's got the crossover appeal.
And he can speak English.
Yeah, very well. So, but in order for him to get there, you know, it's like he got to make this turn. You know what I mean? Because Ray was nice where, like, when Eddie was there, like, you had two. Mm-hmm. Now it's just been Ray. And let's be real. We just see Dominic as Dominic. We don't see Dominic as a Mexican star. Dominic is just a star.
Like
he's just a WWE superstar.
Yeah, he's his own brand. Yeah.
He's not a Lucha.
He's not a son of Lucha.
But I'm gonna give you this wrinkle that y'all didn't think about.
Here we Santos, go.
Santos is about to be what Andrade should have been on the main roster. And you gotta remember, look who's in his stable. All they got to do is put Zelina with him, and there you have what you should have had on Monday Night Raw. Triple H is fixing a lot of the wrongs, and he keeps Zelina around for a reason. Mm-hmm.
So you don't think – this is a great conversation. You don't think Zelina goes like – because like right now she's upset with him.
Because it's Ray.
It's Ray, but you think maybe he gets to her and gets her to understand that she goes back to being the evil, sadistic queen Zelina that's hard to deal with? You think we can get that again?
We can, because if you look at the landscape of SmackDown right now, Zelina doesn't fit in the women's division as a contender for the title, like they're pushing everybody else just for the title. She fits in as an attraction right now.
Kinda.
Because remember, she went from a contender for a while, even with her and what you call his wrestler, Io. You thought she was a contender. They kind of slid her to the backside because now Kyrie's there, Asuka's there, Bianca, and Charlotte. So she kind of went down on the order. So you got to give her something to be relevant with that when you need to put her right back in it, because we've seen once you insert her back into that women's title match, you want to see it. But now, imagine if face was the champion and you got this heel Zelina, you're like, oh, she actually could be a threat.
I was gonna say, she's the better, because if you, like you just brought up, like, she's not gonna ever be a bigger face than Bianca, especially with this television show coming out.
She's not the Rock.
Charlotte Flair. And when you want her to be a face, Charlotte Flair is actually a phenomenal face.
Yes.
Outside of her.
Yes.
Yeah, because like she's somebody who like loves people.
There you
Where, you know, Mercedes was like,
I want to be a wrestler all the time.
You mean this is, but Charlotte, like, yo, speak to me if you see me in Target. Like, I don't bite. So she like, but it's because she was presented as such a heel, and then it's easy to say, you ain't in this position because your last name's Flair. It's not.
Remember, she said that on the thing. She's tired of being Ric Flair's daughter. Why can't he be Charlotte's dad? Like, and remember, she was saying it because she main evented WrestleMania, but they put her on the marquee as Ric Flair's daughter. And I'm like, hey, that kind of sucks that you had that in your back pocket.
Shout out to my boy Jake, who did that at ESPN.
Yeah, I'll never forget the interview. I was like, dang, I felt bad for her because I'm like, she is known as Ric Flair's daughter. No matter what she does accomplishes, you know, it's like she, I'm telling you, that time we saw her at, live and how she was, the crowd was here, she was hugging people. You could tell that was her element. Mm-hmm. But for some reason, they don't want that to translate to TV as much.
Yeah. Mm. But, no, it's it makes sense, though.
But sorry, my fault.
No. You good.
Right. Zelina can't, yeah.
Yeah.
God.
Dang, I told you, Brother Ray, he does it every single time. Like, you think you're good, you're comfortable with an idea.
See, this happens when people try to come for his belts. Then he get to really cooking.
Bro, he been cracking ever since.
We got to come up with a name for it. We got Triple H, Dust, Shawn Michaels Sauce.
And we kind of call like
Brandon's Barbecue.
That's crazy. I like that thing.
Check out this line of shirt that says Brandon's Barbecue.
Look, let me tell y'all a quick story. My graduation party, dude, I'm sitting up there. They was like, all right, Brian, you got to do the grill. And at the time, I ain't messing with the grill. I was like, hey, Brian, come here. I got this. And he had a dress shirt on. He took his dress shirt off. Mm-hmm. I mean, his button-up shirt on. He's like, hold on.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
I was like, oh, okay, cool.
Oh man, he is cooking Brandon's barbecue. He's cooking. When he starts cooking, oh y'all, here we go. He's frying up the grill. Oh man. If you're just tuning in, go back and listen to the beginning of the show because Brother Brandon had some choice words for a certain belt maker who had made some comments about championship culture in that time and the picture they posted and creating memories for people through these custom championship belts. No, but anyways, that was man. Okay.
Betrayals.
it's crazy. So tell me this. So we talked about a number of different reasons for jealousy, especially in professional wrestling. So what is Santos Escobar jealous about? What is his problem with Ray? Was it because I'm seeing elements of all three of these topics where you do whatever it takes to get ahead, which is what Brian said. What Brother Brandon said is sometimes just one bad day, which he did have, and well, Brother, you said, man, sometimes you just don't want to give up that spotlight because he was the leader of Legado del Fantasma. You know what I mean?
He was up next.
He was there. And then all of a sudden, Ray comes in and says, we're going to be LWO. And it's like being in a room full of kids. You know what I mean? And they're like, oh, shoot, this is a chance for us to be a part of history. Like, I thought it was a joke. I thought they were just selling merchandise. They're like, no, we're bringing back the LWO. And I'm like, man, this adds a different wrinkle to that story, to that chapter, to that legacy. And I was like, oh, this is real. And it looks like Ray has been at the forefront. But I noticed some of the, like, Santos Escobar looks unhinged for whatever reason. I feel like he's starting to unravel. And I've seen that periodically with him over time. I'm like, man, he's starting to come unglued. And then he's like, it was supposed to be just me and you. And then all of a sudden, Carlito comes into the picture. Right, mm-hmm. Ray called Carlito to say, man, I can get us some help in this match when he got hurt, you know. And then Carlito calls him out, like, yeah, like Ray, don't get blamed Logan Paul for what he did. You blame for the guy that left the brass knuckles on the ring apron, because he obviously, Carlito's a veteran, mm-hmm. so it makes sense for a veteran to be paying attention to certain things. And you're talking about a master heel. He was one of the biggest heels in his younger years.
I was thinking that
he stabbed John Cena.
Come on now. Like,
well, he had John Cena stabbed. I'm sorry. He had John Cena stabbed.
If anybody knows a heel, when he sees one, it's going to be Carlito. And I thought it was masterful. And then Santos just snaps. Like, you could tell he's like losing his brain. And then I don't know if you guys saw the the extra footage they showed of Santos Escobar. He's walking out of the arena. His hair's all out. He's unhinged. He's talking to himself, and he's still saying. And he walks past the WWE television truck, and there's this big picture of Eddie Guerrero. And he just kind of pauses, and he looks up at it, and he just stops what he's doing, and he kind of just looks at him and shakes his head, and then walks away. I said, "Man, this is deep." And I was like, "Man, I didn't think they were going to go to this depth of a particular character as to why they're jealous." But I was like, man, I feel like even though I felt like, yo, he's going to turn heel soon, he's going to go bad, and it's going to be a reason for it. This, to me, seemed like this is going way deeper than I ever expected. Are you guys getting that same vibe when y'all see kind of Santos Escobar? Kind of, because Ray looks confused like I am. He's like, what is wrong with you, bro? Like, what's going on? And he just looks like he's, like, losing it. And I'm like, man, what is driving him to this point right now?
Yeah, man.
Like, what is wrong with him? What is he jealous about? Like, he lost the United States Championship. He doesn't have it anymore. Like, remember, that's how they sold us. Remember, they teased us because we were like, oh, clearly he wants the United States Championship because he was supposed to have the match. But then Ray gets the match, but he ends up winning, and he had to take a back seat. And then they got jumped by – who did they get jumped by? Was it Judgment Day? They had beef with the Judgment Day for a quick moment, and it was like, okay, well, that's on the back burner. So once again, that stupid Triple H does, he's throwing us in different directions like, okay – we're showing you that Santos Escobar is kind of off, and then they fake through stuff at us to assume, okay, well, he's jealous because he's not United States Championship. Oh, well, he's jealous because he didn't get a chance to be in a tag match, and they just completely went in a different space. And I'm still asking the question, like, well, what is wrong with this man? Like, what is he say? Ray is a hero. They talk about the legacy of him, his father. I mean, his uncle, Ray Mysterio, which would be, well, I guess, technically senior because he was Ray Mysterio Jr. before he gave him his full name. You know what I mean? Right. And now he seems to be unhinged. Like, so what does this mean? Is this the end of the WO? Does he take over as leader? What is he tripping about? I don't know. And I'm
the beauty of it, because it's not so easy. Because you can say, all right, maybe he's mad. Like, all right, you lost this title to an influencer. He could be mad at that. He could be mad that, you know, and maybe he knew what he was doing. And it was the perfect time. Maybe he knew exactly, like Carlito said, he left the thing on Abram because the overall core is he's jealous because he was the United States champion, and that was a spot he thought he was supposed to get. And Carlito called him out. He's like, well, he done figured me out already, so now I might as well beat him down. It's so much to it. And it finally gives Carlito, like, okay, now we know why you're here. So, man, I don't know. It's a lot.
That's why. You heard he say his name?
They're going to call Bad Bunny in now.
No, he gonna come. Oh God, that's gonna be a heck of a match.
And then Bad Bunny gonna face Logan Paul for the United States title.
I can see that happening. And then the belt's gonna go on tour with him.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God, he gonna have it on stage. Fans gonna be touching.
I mean, what's better? I mean, right. That's a win-win.
He's gonna be selling them at his show.
It is.
He's gonna be on sale at his shows.
I think they sold your idea, though, brother Brandon, brother Hugh. They've been watching your shenanigans because Logan Paul wins United States Championship. All of a sudden, the belt is everywhere. I'm like, wait a minute, this looks.
AI picture. He was in the shower with it.
Listen, I was having flashbacks. I'm like, bro, this is taking me back. I remember saying this when you start seeing your championship belt everywhere. It doesn't need to be. Like, yo, I'm having PTSD about this. It was a whole run we had of this whole situation. It was months. And I'm like, I'm double checking like this just to make sure my belt's still here. I'm like, okay, no, it's still there. But man, Santo Escobar, like Carlito said, is not the only one who seems to be dealing with jealousy. And not just jealousy, the focus of tonight's show, which means jealousy that has turned into a heel turn. Drew McIntyre, shall we tackle this? Drew McIntyre, to me, I noticed something was wrong with him. He had a rough year after dealing with the bloodline and kind of becoming a little more harsh in his approach. Like, look, man, I'm too good of a guy at this point. I'm not focused enough. You know, he could have helped the situations where he could have, you know, he tried to, you know, with Matt Riddle and all kinds of things. He was trying to turn a new leaf, and it was bothering him because Drew McIntyre still has that chip on his shoulder. He still has not really had his championship run the way he feels like he should have. It's because when he had the title, he was given the responsibility and the task to carry the company during a very difficult time. It was a global pandemic, which I salute, and he is always regarded in that terms, but he didn't have the run he felt like he should have. And I felt like going against Seth was his last straw, where he decided, yeah, I need to have this moment. And when he didn't get it, he has flipped his wig. For some reason, Drew McIntyre has, seems like he's made a deal with the devil. Hmm. I don't know what this means. I don't know if he's joined the Judgment Day. Because and I'm gonna tell you why I don't know. It's because they tease like, oh yeah, this person needs to join, and they were, and then they gave the little vest to JD McDonagh. And at the end of the night, we saw Rhea Ripley talking to Drew McIntyre at what was the goddamn pay-per-view called? PLE. Well, what the one we just came out of? Crown Jewel. I'm tripping. You know, she, and you know, they saw her, they saw her talking to Drew previous to Crown Jewel, and then after Crown Jewel, when he lost, she goes in the back, she looked at him, she shrugged her shoulders and then walks away. And then we have Monday Night Raw, where Drew McIntyre is seen shaking hands with Mommy,
the leader of the Judgment Day.
Right. And like Damian Priest claims to be the leader of the Judgment Day, and everybody's fake going along with it. I'm like, I don't think Finn's going to go for that too much. There's a lot of jealousy going on. There's a lot of heel turns. But Drew McIntyre was a face. He was a good guy. And now it seems like he has snapped. What's his story? Why has Drew McIntyre decided that enough is enough? What say you, brothers?
It's time to be a nice guy.
I'm trying to save everybody.
It's time for a change. Mm-hmm. I tried to be a nice guy.
And let's be real. The reason why babyface Drew worked before, because we was all tired of Brock Lesnar.
Brock Lesnar's run was coming to a close.
Yeah, but him being a nice guy, what did it get him? He lost to Roman. He couldn't beat Gunther. I can't say it like you.
Gunther.
Yeah, he couldn't beat him. So it's like, what did it get him at the end of the day? Mm. Yeah, he had a little thing with Matt Riddle and whatnot.
He tried. He was trying to be a good
so
guy.
He was like, man, you better go back to your roots. Remember when Drew first came back?
Yep, he's got a psychopath. And,
yeah. That's another thing, too. Because if I'm not mistaken, he wins the NXT title and then boom, got gets hurt. Kicked in the face by Adam Cole.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So he was like, hurt.
And he was being a nice guy. But he came up to the main roster with Dolph Ziggler. They were some nasty heels.
Yes, sir.
They were.
Yep.
And up to that point, that was probably the best presentation that we had seen of Drew because, you know, his time at NXT was very short.
Yeah. That was just to get us reintroduced to the new version, you know, bigger, stronger, no longer like that, you know, that baby face, no longer playing the air guitar.
Mm-hmm.
So I think like he channeled all that energy. It's like, man, look, being nice ain't get me nowhere.
Mm.
You know, he's got to be mean. He's got to go back.
He's fed up.
It's just not working.
What do you think? Yeah. What do you think, Brother Hugh? Why do you think Drew was decided, you know, enough is enough. It's time for him to be a little more aggressive. And it looked, like I say, it looks like he's made a deal with the devil with the Judgment Day. What's Drew thinking right now?
He's feeling disrespected, just like what Brian said. Okay. I mean, every chance he's gotten hasn't really been like solidified in the history books.
This is hurting me as y'all talk about it. Like, I'm like, dang, I'm getting mad too. And as you talk about it, Brother Hugh, I feel what you're saying because I've kind of always felt that way, but I'm like trying to be positive because I didn't want him to be a bagger. But I'm like, you know what? He has every right to kind of feel the way he feels. But go ahead. I'm sorry.
Absolutely. Absolutely. He got screwed by Jey Uso, hence the reason he hit him with the Claymore.
Yeah, he had to get
his
head back.
Think about that. He had to. He's been crying about it ever since Jey Uso came to Raw.
Yep, he has for a minute now.
You got that. He lost clean to Seth Rollins.
Mm-hmm.
So he lost his opportunity there. Like you said, Brock Lesnar and him winning the title during COVID. Like his runs haven't been respected yet.
Dang.
Mm-hmm. So
I'm over Bobby.
Yeah. I get angry too, to be honest. And you're one of the top guys in the company. Let's be honest.
Yeah, he did get choked out at WrestleMania by Bobby, didn't he?
You're not making this any better, Brian H. Just you're throwing salt in the wound, brother.
That was beautiful.
If for us color folks, yeah, I enjoyed it. you know how we get down. Solidarity,
bro. I was with me and Brother Hugh was in the house.
I was conflicted.
Kids and nephews and nieces and everybody except my one nephew Zion going to say, I wanted him to win. I was like, boy, I'm about to put you out. You rooting for Drew McIntyre?
The rules was right? But it's a, when it's a good brother, solidarity yeah. all the way. No, it's
Bobby.
Yeah, it just I don't know. It makes and when you think about like him just like re-signing, you know, at one point people were like, man, Drew's having a string of bad luck, man. He might not re-sign with the company. He might and a lot of people feel like maybe it's time for him to go elsewhere because there's not much for him left to do here, which I'm glad that he didn't. Now that you see the state of other pro wrestling companies.
Yeah, but that he'd be too good for that. Like he's right where he belongs. He getting that now he's getting a fresh coat of paint, as they would say.
He definitely is though. And I and it's the one of the things I enjoy the most about the Triple H era is once again you're finding a way to make people relevant main event players without having to say, well, just throw the belt on them. Just throw the belt on
them. But you know what we gotta really consider with this with Drew?
Mm-hmm.
He is an established star as a face.
Mm-hmm.
If you notice what the Triple H dust has been doing, we're building for next year. Because if Cody finishes the story, is out hurt.
He won't.
But I'm saying, who do you put a belt on or who is the next person? Because let's be honest, you're only as good as your challenges, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because if you don't have any credible challenges and a different Drew is a different challenger when he's a heel. A different Drew was a different challenger when he was a face. You get what I'm saying?
You don't think it's a ploy for the World Heavyweight Championship?
I think they want to keep him as the heel because which way could he go? Because remember, next year, we always can have the draft and he can wind up back on SmackDown. Wherever we need a heel because Raw is heavy with faces. With, you know, Jay being there now. I mean, main event Jimmy. No, what's it? I always get these two pieces for some reason. Main event Jay.
One is blue now.
Yeah, the blue one. It's hard for another face to fit in there because you got Sammy, Cody, let's call it Seth, and Jay now. You're like, how do you fit? That's why Kevin had to go to SmackDown. It was too heavy now, so you needed more people. You made Shinsuke relevant as a heel, not relevant as a wrestler, but relevant as a heel. Boom.
Which is more important.
Mm-hmm. Because you needed that. You had too many happy-go-lucky, hey, I'm just happy to be here, look at me.
And you needed like viable contenders.
Yeah, because right now, let's be honest, would you want to see Gunther and a heel, what you call it, go at it for a world title? Or would you want to see Gunther in the face, Drew, go at it for the world title? No, it might add an interesting dynamic if you have this monster, I'm not the nice guy, I'm just walking. What if he just walks backstage, Glasgow kiss somebody and knock him out, they'd be like, oh, he on the warpath. He just come in the ring, claymore him. And you're like, oh, he really is a Scottish psychopath.
That's how AEW was supposed to book Wardlow. They didn't do it though.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
Because he looks menacing now, just wearing a black t-shirt and his jeans. He looks like, oh shoot, I'm gonna kick somebody's. So Gunther can't be the only heel, him and Shinsuke. They just can't be. And if you put him with the Judgment Day, and I hate to say it, I don't know if there's room for him there, but is he going to be the Judgment Day member that Mommy is just backing?
No, this is perfect because it goes into our next sponsor segment, but it is not yet given spent. But if you would like to sponsor this segment, go ahead.
Does it smell some ribs or some barbecue chicken? Because your boy over here, he's still cooking.
I think he's still cooking. Brother Hugh, now that you mention it, listen. We got. I hope somebody hates on you guys every week because Brandon's barbecue.
Man, I'm about to make some bots to hate on Brandon just because.
Bro, I'm gonna start making fake accounts to be like, "You like championship culture?" I'm like, "Ain't no championship about your culture."
You know what my brother Maurice said he used to do?
What's that?
Before he had a big game, he would make his wife mad on purpose because then she would be mad at him, and it would motivate him to play well.
Listen, if Michael Jordan can do it, hey, so can Maurice. Michael Jordan make a whole
story. He's like, yo, go before semi-pro football game. He's like, yo, I make Danielle mad on purpose. Anybody know his wife? She's like the nicest person. He gonna make her mad.
A lot.
Yeah, then she mad at him, and then he go out and score 3-4 touchdowns like it's nothing.
Terrible. All for the sake of semi-pro football.
Exactly. If you know him, you know it's like so accurate on point.
It is though. It's completely fool. Trust me. He's not. Brownie's not making this stuff up. It's definitely Maurice's warehouse. But this brings us to our next segment. We're going to keep it on Drew. Da, 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 da. Good for business, bad for business. Sponsored by sponsorships available. so if you'd like to sponsor this segment, please reach out to wrestlingroom@gmail.com. Subject advertised. You can sponsor the good for business, bad for business. So we talked about Drew being a heel, and we kind of alluded to it. Let's get into the details of it. Is it good for business or is it bad for business that Drew McIntyre is now one of the biggest heels in all of professional wrestling? I don't know. I don't know what his affiliation with the Judgment Day is, but it's immediate heat seeker. Good for business, bad for business, good brothers. Drew McIntyre is a heel.
Good for business.
I think it's great for business.
Oh, wow, Brother Hugh.
It's good for business. 100%. He has the look. Okay. He has the attitude.
He's about to say something.
I think it's good.
Mm-hmm. Oh, go ahead.
And if you put him, like, because they throw away this leadership thing, why couldn't he be the leader of the Judgment Day? Why couldn't he be that figurehead? Because, let's be honest, if you keep Damian and Damian and Finn as a tag team, he got his North American Championship, Dominic. JD's just going to be there as the, you know, as you like to call him, the young boy.
Mm-hmm.
You got the leader.
You got to have an X-Pac to get beat up, take all the bumps.
Yeah. And and this way you have him saying, I'm going to show you how it's done, or he going out there proving points, doing whatever, as the de facto leader, somebody mm-hmm. they can rally behind, or somebody that's making sure those belts stay on them. And I just can't shake this fact of, why is the Money in the Bank briefcase still there? I can't shake it. It's got to be a reason that they're doing all this.
Yeah, especially in the Triple H era. Everything he does has a reason connected to it. I'm nervous because I think this might be the end of the Judgment Day. I'm going to tell you why. If you think about it, periodically, the Judgment Day has been everyone's been trying to recruit their own member, right? When Dominic got there, it was Jay. He tried to get Jay in the Judgment Day. You got Finn that's pushing for JD McDonagh to be in the Judgment Day. Then you have Rhea Ripley pulling for Drew to be in Judgment Day. And then you have Damian Priest is like, we don't need anybody else in Judgment Day. He spearheaded kicking Edge out in the first place. And it's like, And then you have guys, Cody Rhodes started a pot, like, you're not even the leader of your own faction. Everybody knows Rhea Ripley's the one who pulls the strings. And then he comes out and all of a sudden goes, I'm the leader of the Judgment Day. And I'm like, is that going to fit well with Finn? Is that going to fit well with...
Oh, his face showed it.
Yeah, he was like, wow, yeah, no doubt. Yeah, of course. I'm just like, either somebody's getting kicked out of the Judgment Day or this is not going to be... This could just be one ploy. What if Drew McIntyre is just trying to get close to senior Money in the Bank? I don't know.
I'm nervous. I'm scared because it's a reason that we keep seeing it, and they toyed with Sammy holding it. I think that was a test. Mm-hmm. What if somebody else gets it?
Don't let nobody hold your briefcase.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, Sammy snatched it. I don't know. But like I said, man, it's of course, this is a to-be-continued type situation. And we will see. I'm curious to see where this goes. I think this is great for Drew McIntyre and his career. It's kind of revitalized his purpose and his place in the WWE. Because now I'm just like, okay, you had one of the biggest baby faces who just finally snapped. And he joins one of the biggest. First of all, they don't need him in the Judgment Day, for goodness sake. And now all of a sudden, now he's in the mix. That's just like, oh, right, no. Right. This is going to be disastrous for everybody. But we're going to great.
I'm just happy it happened. I'm just happy just it happened because he ran right past us when he made his turn. So I was.
He definitely did, though. I saw the footage.
I was excited.
That slow jog.
He definitely did that wrestler trot.
That there wrestler wasn't trot. No, what you call it? Giovanni sprinted out there.
Giovanni.
Yeah, he got out of there
warming up. He was like, this is my moment. I'm ready. He kept doing things. Like, I'm about to go out there.
He would have made sure he didn't pull anything.
but
yeah, this is, like I said, as we're going to get ready to wrap up this show, man. That was a great conversation, man, as we discuss jealousy and heel turns in professional wrestling. But you guys have a list of some of your favorite jealousy to heel turn moments in professional wrestling. I took a few notes. You can just kind of shoot them off. I'll give you my list off the off my break. I don't want to grab the piece of paper because I got a new microphone. It's going to be really, really loud. But I'll just... That's right. You can hear it. That's how you know it. Everybody's eyes went up. You know this piece of paper right there.
Uh-huh.
But I think some of my favorites are... And you guys kind of mentioned a couple of them that I probably just wasn't paying attention to. And I was like, oh, no, this is good. I'm going to say Kevin Owens, when Kevin Owens turned on Sami Zayn in NXT. It's such a terrible moment. Like, he came out there celebrating him winning and gave him a big hug, and then that was just over. You know, Kevin Owens was kind of a face, a fan favorite, and then he just turned to a bad guy. Shinsuke Nakamura attacked Seth Rollins. We haven't really seen, like, I'm not talking like Vince McMahon heel Shinsuke with this new music and rap over it. Silly. but like he legit was like, I'm not waiting my turn anymore. I'm going to the front of the line. I was like, sheesh, Shinsuke. Obviously, Shawn Michaels and Marty Jannetty. That's kind of the most obvious one. I think that will probably stand the test of time and be the one everybody knows it as. Triple H turning on HBK when they fake reunited DX.
Oh yeah.
I was pissed. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is really happening. And then it's a pedigree. It's over in like a minute 40 seconds. Mm-hmm. I was blown. Chavo Guerrero when he turned on Rey Mysterio, you know, yeah. The whole he was always jealous of his of Rey's relationship with his uncle Eddie Guerrero, you know, the late Eddie Guerrero in his passing, and it, I thought that was going to be Chavo's turning point as far as his career is concerned as a heel, and I think he did a great job, especially, you know, hitting Rey's knee. Everybody know Rey had like 30 knee surgeries, and of course obviously Jimmy and Jey Uso. Jimmy never, he did, he had, so you know, he's one of fat Stone Cold he was, and knee braces on his anytime wrestlers start wearing those the big leather indie pants, you know, like they got a fat knee brace under there. Shawn Michaels changed his outfit because his knee brace wouldn't fit underneath his tights like he used to. Yeah. But yeah, those are just a few of my favorite jealousy to heel turn moments. How about you guys? I know we talked about it a little bit earlier, but we just kind of, you know, going to wrap up this show. Excellent show, by the way, and great conversation. But what are you guys' favorite jealousy to heel turn moments in the world of professional wrestling? Well, any place, any brand, any company?
But when we talk about this topic, the first two that I think about is the Evolution, where Randy Orton won the title, thumbs down situation.
Take it off my list. Thanks, Hugh.
Yeah, kind of.
You're welcome. Anytime. and then also we have the Mega Powers with
Oh yeah, because
Somebody else had that too. Somebody else had that one too.
Macho Man was fed up with Hogan,
yeah,
wasn't
Macho
he?
Man.
Oh my god, he was so
that
angry.
Insecurity kicked in, that jealousy kicked in.
Let's see, look in your eyes. Oh, yeah.
Wrong.
Bro, he was angry. You ever go back and watch that stuff? I'm like, nah.
I loved it because I could see Hogan.
You were watching, you'd be like, nah, he really didn't like Hogan. Like, you can tell.
He didn't.
I was like, man, he probably would still keep going cutting a promo like Randy, that's over. Like, right? We said cut.
We said cut Hogan.
I don't know. That's a good one.
I know Brian got something to say about that. You good, Brian?
Brian is trying to behave himself. He's over there cringing like he's
right.
He really hated Hogan. He really loved either they were brothers or they weren't.
He did. Be a man, Hogan.
But those are two that came to my mind.
Okay, those are really good. What about you, brother Brandon, Brian H?
You want to go first, Brian? Because I'll probably scratch them off my list. Because you probably got some. You're
not gonna have anything left by the time we're all done.
No, I'm gonna go different directions. Tori turned on Sable.
Okay,
she was obsessed with her.
That took us
to WrestleMania 15. Mm-hmm. That's when Sable started feeling herself. But you know, we was teenagers, so we loved it. Jay Bougie leaving. Takeover to better himself.
Talk about it, man.
Yeah, too bad promoters can't get it right so we can finally get that match where he will up PJ Savage. But yeah, those are a couple that jump out the mind. You mentioned Trish Stratus earlier, but even with her and Jericho and
Jericho,
Christian,
yeah,
you know, because like that gave us if we could have got the Christian we got now, like if they would have cut him loose,
it's
then
the fault, bro.
Yeah, you Christian.
He would be in the Hall of Fame as a legend, sitting off to the side doing nothing.
The problem was that they knew he was better than Edge, but they had already invested so much in Edge.
Ouch! Y'all don't like Edge.
It's not we don't like him, but like, come on, bro. Look, Christian was just better.
And it said we need to leave WWE for people to see that.
That burns me up, man. And then when he got back, they still didn't let him loose.
Yeah.
That's true.
And we, I think we was going to get another one. If I really think if Edge didn't have to retire, we was really going to get that run between them two for the world title.
No, that was supposed to happen because they teased it one time, and I was blown away by that 5 minutes they were in the ring together.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what it was. I don't know who Edge was beefing with, but it was like it was
Del Rio.
And they had to pick each other's opponents, and Christian came out for like a moment. He's like, "Oh, that's not your opponent," and I was like, "It was something to that degree." And I was like, "Oh, this could be good if it was just those two guys," but obviously it got cut short.
Yeah, those are couples. Yeah, those and like us. Oh, Sid Vicious turning on Shawn Michaels, because that's how we got Babyface Shawn. A day after they said we would never get Babyface Shawn.
Yep.
WrestleMania 11.
Yeah, deep cuts. I like. Yeah, because yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What about you, brother Brandon? You got any?
Well, it's funny because he already took one on, but I say anything with Christian because Christian is the best term. So anything with Christian. Adam Cole getting kicked out of the Bullet Club. Remember when he was on his way out?
Ooh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
DIY and NXT. That was kind of sad. I was like, oh.
Like, when they put the credits up?
Yes. Yes.
that was the prelude to the Triple H dust.
Of course, when Stone Cold, you know, the infamous chair shots when he turned his back on the fans.
Throw that away, bro.
Why you say throw it away?
Act like it never happened. It was bad.
Nobody. I was like, the God, you never thought. I said, I just remember that moment. Like, are you serious?
I thought I knew Austin. I thought I knew the Texas Rattlesnake.
Right. But I was like, oh my. But then afterwards, I was like, yeah, this ain't working. Seth, when he turned on the Shield, because I kept saying that Dean would be the one to turn, but it was surprising that it was Seth. I just knew it was going to be Dean. And then, of course, the last one. I wish we would have got it in the Triple H era and not in the Vince era.
Sure.
That Bayley turned on Sasha. Because if I was betting money,
execution
I thought it would have
been way better.
Yes. Yeah. I thought it was going to be Sasha jealous of Bayley. But it was like they were trying to plant seeds. It was like, boom, out of nowhere. But they gave us the Sasha run that led to the Bianca rise. So that's why I really can't.
Yeah. But I love that match they had at Hell in a Cell.
Yes, it was awesome.
That was good.
Even though it was quick, it was they had time. The match was good. I just wish we had more buildup. It was like we turn on SmackDown.
Because I thought that feud, if I, you know, put on a fantasy booking hat, the heel turn happens when it happens. But Sasha stays out till Royal Rumble.
Yes.
Bayley becomes champion, and we get the one-on-one match. And then
Sasha wins the Rumble
title.
But see, I would have had them stay out, let them both be in a Rumble, and she eliminates Bayley, and that's what causes the feud. You know what I mean? Like, not necessarily Elimination Chamber, but you could take that to a WrestleMania without either one having a title. But I'm glad the way that we got to WrestleMania with Sasha having the belt and Bianca. So I was like, okay, I wasn't as mad at the heel turn because this is what we got. I just I was expecting the other way because it was like, oh, Bayley, oh. Not, I mean, we was already used to the heel Bayley, but this was like another notch for Bayley.
Real quick, James Palmer says in the chat, Orton returning to help Cody. I would love for that to be a heel turn.
Listen to me. I've been thinking about this. Radio's going to come back to he's going to come back to a loud pop, and then he's going to just shove it back in everybody's. Kind of like Becky Lynch did. Remember Becky Lynch did that? With Bianca?
He needed to, because Bianca was getting stale. People don't like to hear that part, but she needed to chase the title in front of us. Bianca chased the title in front of Thunderdome screens. We needed to see her chase that title. That's why that moment was important. And I think, like, if Orton comes, man, imagine he do that at WrestleMania. Cody's going
to
finish the story. Orton comes out to save the because Solo and everybody's right there. And he evens the score. And then, boom, RKO on Cody. 1, 2, 3. Roman's still champion.
Why don't you want Cody to freaking win? Like,
I want Cody to win at 40.
Look at the 40,
team. I want him to win at 41 in Atlanta. They haven't Atlanta yet.
I ain't ready for Atlanta, but look at the War Games team. Name the people on Cody's team.
Seth.
who Seth he can't Cody stand. And, he going to RKO him. Jay, he going to RKO because Jay calls him. And who's the last one?
Who is the
Sammy. Last
one? Oh, gosh.
Sammy
oh,
was part of the bloodline. So he got beef with all of them. He got, and Triple H keep throwing that history back at us. Because anytime they played that clip when Kyrie got taken out of WWE, I was like, oh, he's a deep cut. He said, and on Monday, I don't know if y'all caught it, Hugh, come to find out, Michael Cole, remember when Cody said, yeah, I got a lot of history in this building. Michael Cole said it on commentary. I said, oh, they reference AEW now. Okay.
Yeah.
Because Cody said.
He did.
I went back and watched it. Yep. He said, I got a lot of history in this building. But it's crazy because I think
he said that in SmackDown too, if you remember. When his promo
he
did Roman.
Say he got history.
Yeah, he always said that.
But did they say it on the commentary?
I didn't go back and watch that show.
Okay.
But yeah, he always referenced because, you know, him and Sammy Guevara was the first AEW match ever.
But I'm telling you, buddy. I think RK, he going to come back as the pop. He's never going to be on the team. But when they're in the match, he's going to RKO all of them because he got beat with all of them. You thought I was coming back to save you. You caused me my titles. You caused me this. I'm the Viper. I'm the Legend Killer. And it's going to be like, oh, he's bad.
And guess what? He's going to be the sole survivor because Randy Orton is Mr. Survivor Series.
It only makes sense. And has Randy Orton really had a nice solid run underneath Triple H? Like, there's a lot of history there.
Because you got to think, like,
he was kind of split, wasn't he?
Like, he was running with Riddle.
Yeah.
And then he got hurt. And you figure the Triple H era, he hasn't been around.
Nope.
That's what I'm saying.
He was with Drew. Remember, him and Drew had that all. I think that feud was great together.
I love it. That holds up. Yeah.
And I hate to say it was better than him and Edge's feud.
It was.
okay. But, you know, and it was, they traded the WWE title that, you know, microwave flipping, but. Him and Riddle was a. I don't like that. You could tell
you don't like the flipping.
I mean, Vince. No, I didn't mind it. No, I'm saying it was okay. I hate it when they made rated RKO.
I'm gonna go back. And watch that
match. I mean, not rated RKO, RKO Bros. Because I was like, you could tell this is a Vince McMahon thing. Let's get them on TV together. Yeah. And it was like, okay, whoopee doo, they got the titles. Yep. Good for him. But yeah, his partner is gone. What's gonna happen next?
Yeah, and he could he's a friend. I feel bad for him. Yeah, but I think I see like this turned into the anticipation of the return of Randy Orton. But you know how we all know Randy Orton's history. You just you're not supposed to trust
him. Kevin Owens.
Yep,
there's anybody for a reason.
Yeah, you don't trust an Apex Predator.
He was trained by the dirtiest player in the game, Ric Flair.
That's what I'm saying. It's too much associated with too many heels.
Yep.
Like Evolution was ridiculous.
I'm watching Ric Flair versus David Von Erich. Ric Flair was been
see that wrestler. Movie got you. Now you're going back and watch Von Erich match.
Yep. I'm going on vacation tomorrow. I'm being a Von Erich rabbit hole.
I believe it. You know, that's before our time. You know,
that's not a bad rabbit hole.
This match is before all three or four of us was born.
Yeah, I mean, it was. We hear all the
actually, this is Kevin. My bad. Mm-hmm. This is Kevin Von Erich. It's crazy because I just watched the match with David Von Erich. And I didn't see, I can't do a review, but I'll say this. I didn't see what everybody said David would have been world champion. But the way they presented that movie, shout out to Zac Efron, I'm like,
he could have been world champion, or he should have been world champion.
Dave was going to be world champion. And now I'll go back and look at the stuff. David was going to be world champion. It's crazy. It sucks, but.
So the
like now,
did you see this? Oh wow!
Wow!
It's been that long. Yeah, he's been gone that long.
He was out for a minute, man. Like he was out, and then he had the back injury, and we kept saying like, "Is he going to come back?" And they were like, "They're not rushing him because
his career was on jeopardy."
Yeah,
because remember his father said something about they was recommending him not coming back.
Not to come back. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was backlash to his last match, or did he wrestle after that? The six man tag. Him, Drew, and Riddle against the Bloodline.
Against the Bloodline, the Bloodline took him out.
Okay.
Well, that's the storyline anyway.
Because we was gonna get Randy, allegedly Randy and Roman at SummerSlam, but couldn't so call Brock.
Mm-hmm. You know, that's always a fail safe. Call Brock.
Yep. And it's one of those things like, man, I don't want to see Brock and Roman again. And what they do, they go out there and put on a banger.
Nah, that's...
the man lifted up the ring.
We've been blessed with some legendary feuds. Good bro. We have to do like a legendary feuds show. Like, I don't know how we kind of do it, you know, in this with this
the most stupendous WrestleMania of all time.
Who kept saying stupendous? Who was that?
Michael Cole.
Now, like,
getting fed that him
stupendous,
and bro. That's all everybody's walking around Dallas saying. This is the most stupendous WrestleMania of all time.
Mm-mm-mm. Well, this is the most stupendous journey between heels and whatever the show is called. What is it called again? Jealousy and heel turn. Sorry.
As the heels turn. That's what it is.
There we go. That's what it was, brother.
That's the name of the podcast episode. Let me tell
Go ahead. That's what it should have been. That's what, as the heels.
We could change it in the Google machine.
Go ahead. If you have access to it and it's not like a big deal, go ahead.
Yeah, I always keep the because I always update the thing with the time codes so the people who watch it they can see.
So welcome to the wrestling round. You can get your soap opera references as long as you're good wrestling. But
and what you call it, and comic books.
And Brian H shuts all the way down. He's just like, all right, man. He's like, you're like, uh oh. And brother Brad does it on purpose. He knows, like, hey, he was like, and Brian, I know you're not gonna catch this, bro. Realness, you will,
right?
Because that one bad day, bad day resonated, right? Yeah, when you see about they talk about the one bad day, you're like, oh, that makes sense.
I mean, because the quote makes sense,
yeah, it does make
just
sense.
Takes one bad day.
It's very thought provoking because let's be humans for a minute. We've all had that moment. We've always been one bad day from being a villain. I know I have. Mm-hmm. I have, like, you know.
Yes, sir.
You know what I mean? So it's just like, dang.
Being a villain. Some of us had that one bad day, became a villain, had to come back to the other side. So, going.
I mean,
he was very...
says the guys that hijacked my title. What are you talking about?
I'm not saying anything. I was a superhero. I made sure. It got some miles on it. It just didn't sit up in the house. Right.
You guys put my championship belt in Paris. You took it to Triple H. You guys had a picture of my belt like it just debuted in NXT with Triple H pointing to it like this. Like, look, we had to make room.
That was the best picture, though, wasn't it?
That was the best one.
It was supposed to be the new belt for Level Up.
Crazy part, it looked so real though. I was like, wait a minute, this looks.
He never pepper, gave you Photoshop.
The Photoshop work was impeccable.
That's what I'd be like, dealing with artists.
I was like, this is too good. But I work with some of the most talented brothers. I'm talking about you guys. I'm talking about you, gentlemen. But you guys have made
in YouTube alone.
You guys have this has been a thought-provoking conversation, and I hope that the fans who are listening and watching have had just as much fun as we have, just kind of breaking all this stuff down, because this is not the last time. It's not the first. It's definitely not the last time that we're going to see jealousy and heel turns kind of, you know, take their place in professional wrestling. It's almost like a rites of passage at some point. But
if you want that smoke, tweet us at Dwayne Allen 24.
And it won't be the last time. You want to see jealousy real life? All I'm going to do is put this right here. That's all I'm going to say.
What's that?
I'm just leaving jealousy. I'm gonna leave it here.
Here it is.
From now on. I'm just going let me turn.
I want to say who it was so bad, but I'm not going to because it's not my place. Like, I want to be like this. Watch, all right, everybody, pay attention. I want to be like, yo, I'm telling you. But see, I'm not gonna say all that. I'm muting myself. But guess what?
I wish we had the censor beat. Live,
heck yeah! I gotta get a soundboard and just put it on. Did that completely like beep out, or will it be like over the voice?
Yeah, it depends how loud you turn it, but it'll be over the voice.
Okay, well, guess what? Oh, come highlight championship culture. YouTube.com/wrestling.
I'm trying to take championship culture.
Time for Rome After Dark.
Yes, it is. Follow us on all social media platforms at The Wrestling Realm, because we got stuff you guys can't talk about on the air. Subscribe to our Patreon channel, Twitch, and YouTube at The Wrestling Realm. We will be back next week to talk about more amazing topics in the world of professional wrestling. Thank you for joining us today. We are officially out of the building. Follow us on social media, like we said. Catch up on Championship Culture Season 1 at youtube.com/wrestlingrealm. Check out, wrestlingrealm.com. Buy some merchandise. Buy a t-shirt. Check it out. Check out the store. Check out the product. See what you like. There's more product to come. There'll be more product available. So we will catch you on a flippity flip next time. Same bat time. Same bat place. Mm-hmm. Same bat channel. We'll catch you later. We out.
What?
Water. Houston, we have a problem.
Yes!